Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, help us to be your family, the body of Christ on earth. Amen. As the body of Christ, we are a Christian community, and we each get to see, to understand, and act in ways which shows our caring for one another. Of course, caring with a biblical wisdom. At church last Sunday, I visited with a 73-year-old woman who I talked with about her neighbors. She interacted with her neighbors a lot, and she helped them with things, like she would bake them a loaf of bread or a pie, and they helped her by fixing something like a fence or putting wheelbarrow handles on her wheelbarrow. And then that wheelbarrow got lent out to yet other neighbors. And I thought, how nice it was to have people helping people, neighbors helping neighbors, just like in the olden days. And that led me to think of people, just how we all are. We are all different, and we all find ways to do things like help each other. In some areas, each of us excels, and each of us don't do so well in other areas. And then we want grace, we want understanding, when we don't do so well. So let's get that grace and that understanding and give it to other people when they don't do so well. And then think about what you're going to do and say so that when they disappoint you, you'll know how to react. And I don't think there's just one answer to the situations that we face. Rather, you have to consider that there are at least two factors. One is you, and one is them. So don't put all the blame on them when some complication comes along. Try to be an active part of what's going on, to be present and to be available to talk and to find a solution to whatever is going on. And all the while, you respect and do or accomplish that which you are both trying to do. In other words, don't occupy that other person's time unnecessarily, but you just keep going and keep doing things that is helpful one to another. That's life, and that's how we get to figure things out, interacting without hurting each other, without hurting each other's feelings. Sometimes you have to really pay attention to that. Forgiving, yes, forgiving, because we all get hurt at one point or another in our life. And we can think of plenty of books out there, and they tell us what forgiveness is and how to do it. And maybe we need to get a book or two read just to get through the process. Or maybe you would want to read Matthew 6:15. If you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And then there's Mark 11:26. If you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. These words are written and read in your Bible. Jesus said them, and they are recorded twice. So yeah, I think they're pretty important, so let's remember them. It does speak to our sense of forgiveness, doesn't it? To me, forgiveness is not just forgetting about something, but just not holding it against a person. And you want to be careful that nothing bad happens to you again. And that's just the way life lessons go. We try to figure out how to get through it all without getting hurt. And that's what we too often do. We anticipate the hurt or the pain that we feel and forget about the forgiveness. But I think we have to remember the whole thing. And that's a part of preparedness too, is because things are sure to happen in life, and you better be prepared for them, whatever they are. Yeah, things happen, don't they? You know, we have preparations just like we have a first aid kit. And why? It's because we have all had some kind of an injury in the past. Certainly injuries to our body, and so we have that first aid kit handy. We also get emotional injuries and physical injuries. It all happens. Life happens. Natural disasters happen. And so what do? We get a little bit prepared. These days, you know, volcanoes are rumbling. Earthquakes are happening. Both the small ones and the large ones, they are getting more intense, and they are going off everywhere in the world. So, like in so many places, the weather is going crazy with rain, with floods, with snow, and snow in dozens of places. Like in Vietnam, it snowed in January of 2016. And then, like in five different places, there's been lakes and rivers that last year turned blood red. I know it's hard to believe, but the pictures are right there. And these things are happening. They happened in the United States, and North America, and in South America, in China, in Russia, and in Europe. All these places had rivers that turned red. I see this as warning signs of Revelation 16, 3, 4, 5. Sure, I don't think Revelation 16 is close at hand, but it just is an indicator that it's somewhere not too far away. But I think that we all have to look for ourselves and to determine if we should actually take action steps of preparation for whatever is going to happen, because lots of things could happen. But every one of us has that decision to make for their own self. So look for yourself. I know I talk to you about these things. There's about the things that I see, but you have to look for yourself and determine what it is that you would do. I talk about all sorts of things like vaccinations, and I would not expect you to change the normal course of how you live based only on what I tell you. Of course not. But I hope that you consider that there are other experiences that people have, and they tell you about them. I tell you about them. And just maybe you could pay a little attention to it and just give it some consideration. I know for me and my wife, we were not going to vaccinate our children, we really, really liked our pediatrician, the children's doctor, and he was favoring vaccinations for the children, and then all of a sudden we did it. We just decided, okay, we'll do it. And the youngest three of four children all got some little herpes on their mouth about 7-8 weeks after their vaccinations. So do I have personal experience? I have something that says something, but you can't make a positive identification that it was the vaccination that caused those children to have that virus. But there are people all over who have problems. I just had a small one. Can I say for sure? No, I can't. But there are indications. Just like there are indications that I warn you about and tell you about to say that we could have some big things happening in this world. And I don't know what. I just see the signs. I see all sorts of things. And what we are told is not always true. Vaccines are not always safe and effective. But everybody has their own decisions to make, and everybody bears the results of those decisions. It's just we all do what we think is best. So I continued to look at the vaccination program, and I found that there were a few things that made questions about vaccinations, like in Africa and in the Philippines and in India. They all had vaccination programs that had complications, and the effects from these complications ranged a lot, from an increase in childhood diseases to an increase in autoimmune diseases, and in some cases to infertility. The infertility happened in and around the Philippines, and I'm pretty sure it was 1993 where that went to the Philippine High Court, where evidence was presented to the Philippine High Court about multiple test vaccinations. New vials were tested by laboratories, several laboratories around the world. I think there were four. And they were found to have a contamination in them. And of course, that doesn't make sense for a fresh vial of vaccination media to have contamination in them. But what they found was a human DNA in it. And once that was injected into a woman's body, that woman had the sense that there was a different DNA in her body, and that meant her eggs didn't drop from her fallopian tubes, and the woman therefore could not get pregnant. She was infertile. And it just so happened that the World Health Organization, their workers, were looking for, especially for young women to vaccinate. So that's what the results of that Philippine High Court heard. They heard that evidence, and they ruled against the UN World Health Organization, and they discontinued the vaccination program in the Philippines. These things are hard to believe. They are for me, too. And it's not that you can just look here and look there and find the evidence. You do have to look and search things out, but if you don't look, you'll never see. That's for sure. I didn't look and I didn't see. I just had some ideas. But as I looked, I began to learn more, and now I say, watch out, because we really don't know what it all means. There are forces against us. There are forces that are against humanity. And it's hard for us to believe because we are all pretty much decent and trusting people. And then for us to realize that there is such a great dishonesty, or that people or let's call them forces, want to hurt us, is just so hard for us to grasp. It just doesn't make sense. But if we look at the struggle between good and evil, we can see that there really is good and there really is evil. And they're good people and they're evil people. So there's things that we don't see immediately, but if we look a little deeper, we do see the problems. And this is what we all experience. All in life we have this. And all over the world we have this. We try to protect ourselves against the evil in the world, from all sorts of things that just aren't good. And the Bible gives us principles to live according to the laws of God, and those seem to protect us. So, me personally, I think of those big things in the Bible, like love God and love your neighbor. That's what I think the main focus is. If you can keep that in your mind and in your heart, that's a good thing. And if we go a little further or have some more questions, we can think about keeping those Ten Commandments. So it's just a matter of, you have to look and you have to make some examination, and then you make decisions. Everybody has their own analysis, and everybody sees things the way they do. So Just keep an idea for what the concepts of all this are. Consider the themes, consider the principles, as you read and try to understand the Bible, God's Word. And then I think we're on a pretty decent track if we can do that. There's all sorts of things all around us. There's negative ideas, negative influences, and negative or dark spiritual forces. Also, we want to determine our lives for ourselves and seek out the good and live in ways which are good and wholesome according to God through Jesus Christ. So that's what I've been thinking about. God gives us free will, and we choose, make choices, and we do the best we know how. And we choose to be with God. Or some people choose to be away from God. There are spiritual forces that are working on us to get us to choose either one side or the other. So beware of what you're following. Beware of even following our own selves, because if we choose something other than God, like if we choose to follow what we want to do, sometimes that just means we're not choosing God and we are on a path that is leading away from God. Figure it out, think about it, and come to some conclusions, and then live it. The world is full of doing things that are good, though. Good works, good things. But I think the goal really is to pay attention to what God tells us to do. In general, I think that's what the idea is. What is God telling us to do? And then we get to figure out how to do it. There's the big picture and the little picture. And just like it says in the Bible, God judges the heart. That's over there in Samuel, 1 Samuel 16. And it talks about man looks at the outward appearances, but God looks at the heart. The Psalms in 44:21 says that too, that God knows the heart. So we want to be sure of where our motives are, and then we want to think about what we're doing or what we're saying. It's just so easy and natural when you get to get the order of this all, but it still takes a while to examine it and to think through the process. And you want to have a position where you can explain things and where people can acknowledge of what it is you're trying to explain. I think that God wants us to acknowledge Him as the most important in life. He wants us to acknowledge that He is the source and not our own self is the source. You remember Paul in Galatians 2:20? He says, it's something like, if it is not I who lives, but Christ who lives in me. I think that's a good thing to remember. And it's not easy. It's not easy to come to that point where it's not you that live, but Christ who lives in you. How do we put God first? How do we put Jesus first in our lives? Yeah, well, that makes me think of Galatians 2:20. It reads, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and who gave himself for me. That's a lot to say. And so we get to figure things out and try to live according to what we understand. It's a challenge, and just maybe, it's an example of how we can live to demonstrate that we do belong to Him. We belong to Him. But the process of trying to figure it out and live according to what He tells us, well, that just takes a little bit of thought and effort, doesn't it? But God did give us a gift, The gift is being able to think and being able to figure it out. So we should exercise that gift, don't you think? Think. Yeah, that's the idea. Think. And sometimes I think about those words in the Bible that we hear, be not deceived. I do think about that from time to time. And what does that mean? It takes some effort to try to figure it out. I think about doing the good will according to God. And sometimes it's hard to answer those questions. At least for me it is, but it's not for God. And as an example of this, I could look to American history when people did good things for their neighbor. They did a lot of good things. And it might have been to have a fire brigade in town, or, you know, where they line up and pass the buckets of water to the fire. Or there could be a community cattle drive, or there could be a barn raising. And somehow you're doing things for other people. But what is the intent of your heart? Is it to give a gift to your neighbor? Or is it to trade so that you help your neighbor and they help you next month? You see, that's what I think of when I consider what are the intents of your heart. I just think of things like that. That's who I am. Some people, like maybe my wife, would say, oh, John, don't overthink it. But I think I just do, because it's the way I am. I think about things a lot. So isn't it good that God made us all different? Yes, it is. And God knows that those differences are good. So hooray for the differences. The differences are good. Well, I just spoke about a community helping others within their community. That's good. And those kind of goals can help a community, whatever it is, a fire brigade, a cattle drive, a barn raising. Those are things that can be good when you get together and have a plan. You're planning to do good things as a group. But it also happens that there are people who get together as a group and they have bad things in their heart. They might call it, or you might call it, a monopoly, or a cartel, or a cabal. You see, you can get together, but what is the intent in your heart? If you're getting together to help each other, or if you're getting together to take advantage of other people. See? And that's why God looks at the intent of your heart. The two sides are pretty obvious, aren't they? Well, sometimes it's not so obvious because we mix things up in our thoughts. And that's why God looks at the intent of our heart. He can clearly see what those intentions are when they start out, and he can see what they develop into as we continue on with them. And we try to discern it, and we do a pretty good job. We can understand a lot by looking at examining our own selves. But God is really, he can cut right into the heart of the matters and figure things out. 1 Corinthians has something to say about this. It's 1 Corinthians 11:31. It says, if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. Maybe that's not the best example, because that chapter is actually talking about the Lord's Supper. It's not talking about groups or conspiracies. But I think there are themes that we can use. We can recognize that there are themes in the Bible, and we can apply them to different parts. But we always go to God for His understanding, and we always pray about what it is we are trying to understand. We are told to not trust in a man, but instead to trust God. You know, trust the Holy Spirit. That's just a part of what we're told. And when it says not to trust a man, that includes ourselves, in my opinion, anyway. To do this, we need a solid relationship with God. We need prayers, and we need Bible studies. I think that's the best way to do it. The Bible can tell us what to do and what the best ways are to do things, or the problems that we have if we don't do it in a Bible manner. Psalm 118, verse 8, says that it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in men. Oh, we can say that one again, can't we? We've all made our errors, I think. I think so. And that's what we want to do, is remember to put God in the top number one position. I know I think of the John 15 there, 15:4, and it talks about abiding in God, that you abide in me and I abide in you, because a branch cannot bear fruit by itself. And unless you abide in the vine, you cannot produce fruit. So that's another reminder about how important it is to have that relationship with God through Jesus Christ and with the Holy Spirit. And I hope that talking about this will just inspire you to think about your relationship with God, your relationship with Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit of God. I think those are important. Obviously I do. And still, that reminds me about how to prepare. There's spiritual preparation and there's physical preparation. Obviously, spiritual is most important because we want to always be prepared to meet our Maker. Yeah. Because we know at some point that will actually occur. We just don't know when. And another part of preparing is to prepare for life. We prepare for the surprises that are wonderful and the surprises that are difficulties. Because you never know when either one of those two will actually occur. I know in life I've had people tell me, "Wow, I've never seen that happen before." Yeah, and I didn't even do anything to cause it to happen, but there it was. Some kind of a surprise happened right there, right out of the blue, so to speak. It happened to me. And these kind of experiences give me a reason to talk about preparedness, because I know that surprises happen. And in recent years, there have been signs and indicators in the world that indicate to me that something is going on. Something could happen. It could be big, too. It could be a disaster. It could be a natural disaster, or just plain a surprise, because they happen, too. And a number of people see a financial surprise happening. They might even call it a financial collapse. It's just that these things happen. And more lately, people get the understanding that our nation could very well be in economic difficulty. They also see that our nation is getting into a position where it could be judged because it is falling away from the will of God. And so I'd like to be able to tell you what to prepare for. But we just don't know. I don't know. I can't see what's coming, except that I can guess at it. I can see that there's likelihoods. And those are what I see from historical patterns. It just speaks to me, and I see things as coming. But when? Well, that's a big, big question, and I don't know the answer to when. But I see in my spirit and I see in my intellect that we should be prepared for something. And I hope that you will pray and ask God what He would have you to do. And otherwise, just you think about it, and in your thoughtfulness, you pray and just consider what you might want to do for that just-in-case situation. Because there are forces around us in the world that could rise up and cause difficulties. Perhaps the only one that matters is if it's a spiritual force that rises up. And I must say that there are several reasons to see that a spiritual difficulty could be coming our way. There's a lot of people who would say that God is reducing His protection upon our country because of the sin in our country. You know, this country has always had enemies. It's been happening for a long time. It's just that so often we don't think about them and we don't see them because it doesn't come into our minds. For instance, not so many people are aware of this, but in 1934, there was a situation, and it turned into a Major General Butler giving his testimony to a congressional committee. And he testified about how he was approached to have a takeover of the United States, that he would lead a revolt to form a fascist coup against the United States government. And there were captains of industry and finance at the time who were supporting his direction in this. But he was a patriot, and he just wanted to find out who was involved in the plot and then expose them. He was kind of a national hero for what he had done in the army. So he was recruited, or they tried to recruit him, but those forces just couldn't quite do it. They wanted to form a national socialist government. National Socialist Government kind of sounds like Nazis, doesn't it? But it didn't work. But we don't hear about that this situation even happened. I don't know why we don't hear about these things. Our history books just don't seem to talk about it. So we don't know. And it seems like the people who write our history books don't want us to know. There's lots of examples of these problems that come up, and somehow we're just never taught. We don't know. We're not exposed to these truths. Does anybody remember how Franklin Delano Roosevelt proclaimed that the United States would not go to war if he was elected president? And then guess what happened? He withheld intelligence, and that triggered Pearl Harbor. And then the United States entered into World War II. Almost like a plan, huh? A lot of people get mad when I say that, though, because they just don't want to just even consider that somebody knew that World War II, Pearl Harbor, I should say, was going to happen. But we, the United States, knew the transmissions of the Japanese government to their embassies, and we knew it was going to happen. There again, history doesn't tell us these things. So ordinary people do not recognize the underlying currents that go throughout our country, that go throughout time. And you have to really study to find these things out. That's one of the things I enjoy about history. So people don't readily recognize these underlying currents of history, but Franklin Delano Roosevelt, his granddaughter, recognized it, and she went on an active campaign to show that the American life was in trouble. She spoke about this for about 15 or 20 years, and she spoke to audiences and she wrote articles about how there were dozens of groups that were supporting the United Nations and its one world government. And they all stemmed from a small group of select people. And these men had for decades had dreams of a one world government being ruled over by an elite group of men. And that group was them. No surprise. It was a power grab. And it happened to have been made up of international bankers and Marxists. But no, history doesn't show us this. We just have it kept from us. And in her articles, she names the groups that were supporting the United Nations. I'll just read a few of them here, because maybe we can recognize them at a later time. The Council of Europe, the Atlantic Council, the Organization of American States, American Peace Society, the Parliamentary Association, the NATO Parliamentarians Conference, Commonwealth Parliamentary Association, East-West Roundtable Conference of Parliamentarians, United World Federalists, World Association of Parliamentarians for World Government. So those were the names of groups that supported these United Nations goals towards basically a one world government. And that's what they called it at the time. So there were plans, and lots of people had lots of plans. Some of them happened and some of them didn't. And their plans were for regional directors to be in charge of each a different part of the earth. And one of the parts of the plan was that if a person ruled over an area, he was not to be coming from that part of the area. Well, did I say that right? You don't rule over an area that you came from, because that would give a person, a director, empathy for the people of that area. So every director had to be from a different area. Did I say that right? Every regional director had to be from a different area than the one they ruled over. And that way there would be no emotional attachment either to the area or the people in it. So that was their plans. No surprise. And also, those are the kind of considerations that people have today for how they choose the rulers over an area. Oh, yes, and these rulers or directors, they were all appointed. There were no elections for those rulers. They were appointed by a central council. So that's what was going on in the 1940s and 1950s. Is it still going on today? Yeah, it kind of is. And we've had things lead up to it where we just get indicators. Well, there was President Dwight D. Eisenhower's farewell speech in 1960, 60 or 61, and he warned that the United States should be aware of the military-industrial complex. And then just a few months later, there was a new president, President John F. Kennedy, and he gave a speech which said, "The very word secrecy is repugnant to a free and open society." That's what he said, but he said more. He went on to say that the press ought to not tell the secrets of our government to the enemies. So, yeah, he said free and open society, but that there should be secrets. Well, it's all very interesting. Our American history is kind of like history all over the world, except we hear about a little more, but we have to listen. So listen, look, and study. In a way, it's just like every other nation, because every nation has the problems and the situations. Men are just imperfect. Mankind is imperfect, I should say. And our hope has to be in God, because He alone is perfect. And we try to live out the pattern that God gave us, and that's in the Bible. And if you look into it, like I have, it's clear to me that the goal of the founding fathers was to do that. And after the founding fathers created their documents, our politicians changed just a little bit here and a little bit there. And now our U.S. government is not what it used to be. Nor are the expectations of the people, because we have different expectations today than they did 100 years ago or 200. Only time will tell if we can keep our form of government and our freedom. And our form of government is a republic before it's a democracy. It's a little blend of both. So we have to realize what it is we stand for as a people. We want to invest enough of our time and our energy to read what that Constitution of ours says, and what that Bill of Rights of ours says. If we want to study a little more, we can read President Eisenhower's farewell address, or President Kennedy's speech to the press that I just cited. Yeah, but most of the people, we just don't have the time and energy for it. Did you hear President Obama's final speech to the United Nations? That was in 2016. And he said in the about a third of the way through that speech, "Ordinary men and women are too small-minded to govern their own affairs." And after that he said, "American individuals should surrender their rights to an all-powerful sovereign," which means government. Can you imagine that? That was said just a couple of years ago. President Obama said that. The ordinary men and women are too small-minded to govern their own affairs, and that American individuals should surrender their rights to an all-powerful sovereign or government. Well, I listened to that speech 3 times because it made an impression to me, and I was just kind of hard to believe that he said these things, but he did. He did. If you look today, it's surprising how our internet is so full of information, but it also misleads. It also misreports what is said. It's a hard thing to authenticate information because it seems like all sources tell it a little different than it is. So what do we have? If we can't trust what we hear, if we can't trust what we read, well, it leads to a state of confusion, I would say. Yeah, if you can't believe what you see and what you hear, it just makes you wonder how uncertain the situation is. And that makes me think of what I talked about last week, on June 26th, 2018, there on the Christ Today, towards the end of that broadcast, I quickly reviewed an old interview with the Russian defector, Yuri Bismanov. And he talked about the plan to make lies and misconceptions so numerous that there is great confusion, and any information, whether it is true or false, cannot be trusted. And that is what seems to be going on today. It's an important part of why you ought to search out the truth from original material and just search things out to make sure you are understanding things the way they are. It seems like everybody wants to tell you what something means. Everybody, even people on the radio, do that too. So the big lesson here is read it for yourself. Like read the Bible for yourself, definitely. And pray before you read it. The Bible is a good book to read. Yeah. So what else is going on? We have China's economy is slowing down, and so they need money. So China and Russia, what are they doing? They are selling their United States Treasury bonds. Well, they are anticipating the United States having economic troubles. And why not? There is talk of a trade war with China, and those things can easily and suddenly escalate into who knows what. The author, James Rickards, says that trade wars have a strong tendency to turn into shooting wars. But what if nothing happens? Well, I'd say then you thank the Lord for the calm that there is. And don't be surprised if that calm is the calm before the storm. Yep, I don't know, but I know I wouldn't be surprised if something or other were to catch us unaware. It could be as simple as an earthquake or a volcano or a freeze which suddenly reduces our food supplies. Because all these things are surprises, and they have happened in history. They could happen again. Natural events or even disasters, they seem to be increasing all around the world, and that just is the way it seems to go. There are all sorts of events happening around us. It seems like there is another force at work in our world. Actually, several. You could call it the natural or nature, or you could call it the political deep state forces. And it's obvious that there are deep state forces that do exist by different names, yes. And how intertwined they are with life, I think that's a mystery. But we just can look around and see that some things are happening. Even the ordinary businessmen can understand that something is going on. We just don't know what. We hear the stories of corruption in government and in business, and there is interaction all over the place that shows up that there really are some big influences over one area or over another. And if you really pay attention and study the matter, you will find that there is occasionally someone who testifies, and they connect well-placed business people with big business or corruption. So it makes me think of President Woodrow Wilson's statement. And that was about 1920. And he says, "Since I entered politics, I have chiefly had men's views confided in me privately, some of the biggest men in the United States and the field of commerce and manufacture who are afraid of something. They know that there is a power so organized, so subtle, so watchful, so interlocked, so complete and so pervasive that they had better not speak above their breath when they speak in condemnation of it. Yeah, that's been something that has been circulated, that he said that, for quite a few years now. So people these days are saying that the deep state has gotten more powerful. Maybe it's true. And maybe there is a war against the deep state. Maybe President Trump has this war. Well, can it be waged, or will it make difficulties? I know that they might make difficulties for Trump if he wages war against the deep state. As I think back in the last 2 years, there have been two Trump helicopters that, on business trips, have almost had a catastrophe. They had accidents that were just barely averted by the skill of the pilot or just plain luck, which in reality to me, is the protective hand of God, not luck, not the skill of the people. Oh, sure, a little bit of that too, but things happen. There is a war going on. There is two sides battling, for God and against God. And if we want to be safe, safe from the evils of the world, I think we had better pay attention and recognize that there is good and there is evil in the world. We can see that a lot of people have died from things in the last years. You can look at that event with President John F. Kennedy and his assassination. There was a list of deaths that happened to various John F. Kennedy witnesses. They had bizarre incidences and deaths. Just bizarre. And speaking of bizarre deaths, I think we can look at the suicides which have surrounded Hillary and Bill Clinton when they were the governor and as the president. Just lots of deaths, lots of suicides, and very few answers. For the last few years, there have been a few famous people who have also committed suicide by hanging themselves on a doorknob. Isn't that incredible? We hear in the news that they had suicided themselves, but seldom do we hear that it was on a doorknob. These famous people include the recent Anthony Bowden, and David Carradine was a while back, but there's been at least 10 others who have had this happen. Bizarre, isn't it? How could these famous people, these influential people, come to that kind of an end? To me, it doesn't make sense. I don't know how they could do it. Physically, how could you do it? It just doesn't make sense. And these people hardly ever had any drugs or alcohol in their systems. So, is there some kind of a secret thing going on here? It just might be. And while we're on the subject of secrets, I think you should keep in mind that there are secrets. There are people who just maybe should be arrested and brought to justice. But on the other hand, those people who are the big, powerful people, they don't want to be put into the public arena or into court. Sure, we want to stop corruption. And we want to encourage a society that is a Christ-following society. And that way we could all be safe and we could all live a safe life. I just kind of wonder, with all the things going on, can our society really change? Could we go back to a more moral society? Yeah, sure we could. But we could also continue into decay. What would that mean if our society were to collapse because of the moral decay? I don't know, but I wouldn't be at all surprised if the decay only worsened. And that's just an opinion. But we want to hold on to every bit of Christian morality that we can. We do want to rebuild a Christ-following society in any way that we can. And a part of that is that we do our part to be that person who is the moral person. We do want to be blessed as a country and as a person, as a people, and as our family and our own people, as a person. We all want to be blessed. We all want that spiritual renewal. And to do that, we get Jesus Christ in our lives. That's the answer I see. Be alive and live as though Christ were living within us. And there's nothing wrong with having preparations either. You know, we can consider just the basic things. What are those basic things? Well, water is pretty basic, and medical knowledge is pretty basic, and food is pretty basic. So I think that we can all look at how to get not just the items, but the skills that we would need if there are great big troubles in society. I think it's just a good idea. We can consider what our regular future needs would be, and we could consider what our needs would be if there was a disaster. Just go back and look at the basics. The basics are important, and that is always our first step. The basics for our current life, well, what's that? That's a relationship with God, that's certain, and a relationship with the people around us. And if we have a collapse or a problem in our country, it's the same kind of thing. We need those too, but then we have other things we need, like air, warmth, water, and food, because those are just necessities in life. And so we figure out, how do we get them? How do we make life good as we go on living? So always be ready, whatever the case is, to give your personal testimony about your relationship with Jesus Christ. As we go through life, be thankful for every good and regular thing that we have. Give thanks to God for our blessings and pray for other people. There are a lot of prayer needs everywhere. So pray, pray, pray. And thank you for listening today. And for other broadcasts, you can hear as you go to www.christtoday.org. So until next week, may you walk with God, and may God walk with you. Give me passion that pours out to air.